Yes, perhaps mixed with boisterous few lads, but they all got on very well together, very well. And we never had any trouble with them. We had Mormons in from America. There were about six of them. And they didn't sort of push their views on anybody, and because that's the only thing that you'd be concerned about. But no, they didn't. They all got on very, very well. We used to try and arrange it so that the younger people had the top floor, which was only two floors up, and the older people had the lower floor. But no, they were nice. I liked them.
Did you ever have any real bad trouble?
No,
stealing or
only once we had really bad trouble, and well, it wasn't really bad either because we dealt with it. But it was a man who somebody rang from Laxey and asked if we were open. I think this was sometime in the summer. It must have been early summer when they inquired, and we were, and we had a vacant room, and they said there was a reverend there who wanted to come to Peel for a fortnight. Well, this was just over the phone. And when he arrived, he was a real scruffy character. I don't think he was a reverend at all. I don't know what he was. And he got out of the taxi. It was a woman taxi driver. And he had loads of luggage, which he watched her carry in. So I wondered, you know, about him. And he had one of the big rooms in the front. It just happened to be vacant. But he was a strange character. When we did biscuits, we used to put everything in the dining room that we could to get ahead for the job. And on the sideboard, I used to put the plates with cheese biscuits, and you know, the little packs of variated portions. Put those out, and he used to wander in and just pick all these cheeses up and start to eat them. And he was a strange one. Or two of the visitors, other visitors said they didn't like the look of him, and they wondered about him. And then one of the local people came in one day and said, "Have you got a reverend staying with you?" And I said, "Yes." And they described him, and they said he was sitting on the headland seat talking to some young people, and the language was absolutely dreadful. So I said, "Well, I don't know what to do about that. He's not a good influence." And our visitors didn't like him at all. He never spoke to anybody. I don't know much about drugs, but I wonder now, because when I used to go into his bedroom, there was something not quite right. And at the end of the week, I said to him, "Well, you knew it was just a week we had. I mean, you have to be very diplomatic." He said, "No, I understood it was a fortnight, but you see, I hadn't actually been speaking to him, and there's nothing in writing." So I thought, well, here it goes. And I said, "No, I'm sorry, it was only a week we had." And so he was very sorry and not very pleased, and he went. And a few minutes later, the phone went, and it was the town hall, and they said, "Have you got any vacancies?" A bell rang, and I said, "Not at the moment," because we still had another week in this room. And they said, "Well, there's a gentleman here, Reverend, and he's looking for accommodation for a week." I was so relieved. And they got him in a house, and she had to call the police because she went shopping. This was another private house, and she just had one room to let. And she came in one day, and he was in something like this, in the cabinet. And so she got rid of him. But he was a very shady character. I don't know who he was, and I wouldn't want to.
What other times did you have to be diplomatic and be careful?
Well, not too often, really. But if there was an unruly child, if they were really bad, because sometimes children would be a real nuisance at the tea table, for instance, at the meal table, one child would sort of, while the meal was going on, would be, it was the parents, of course, would run from table to table, being a real nuisance. And there was one particular lad, he was very, very badly behaved, and he used to chase the other children they were in, used to chase them with a glass of water from round the bedrooms. And so I thought, well, I can't have this. So they stayed, and the following year I didn't have any babies. You have to think on the other people. But you wonder sometimes, you wonder why parents are like that, don't you? It's one of those things, isn't it? And more so today, I think, than ever.
Did you ever have any really good news, like people getting engaged or sort of romances happening in your boarding house?
Not romances, but we had a local girl who got married to a boy from the north of England, and he came and stayed and got married from our house. And yes, it's. But apart from that, I don't think we had any real engagements.
You're just saying that the town hall telephone looking for vacancies.
Yes.
Now, was that something they used to do quite often? Quite often. Was full?
Oh, yeah. Yes, people would go there if they were looking for accommodation and couldn't find it. And people often would come on spec, as we call it, and just come along the promenade and take the first vacancy available. Because in the summer they were nearly all full, especially the smaller houses. And there's a lot of interchanging going on too, because if somebody didn't have room, they would ring round and find accommodation for them. So it worked well, because you knew where you were sending them and they knew where they were sending their guests. And there's a lot of that going on.
What was it the guests liked about Peel especially?
I think it was the friendliness as much as anything, and the homeliness. We used to talk about this and see how friendly people were. A few of our visitors have come to live in Peel. We still meet up with them. Yes, they did like it. It's small, and I think they felt, I don't know what it was, they felt at home, I suppose. And they got to know the locals as well with coming every year. It was a great time. But we did have some bad summers even then. I remember that roaring fire and the sea coming in and the winds and the rain. And we kept this open fire going. Now, of course, you see, you never see an open fire, do you? They loved that. They went out walking. A lot of them did come for walking. They'd come in with their soaking wet clothes. Well, you automatically took them off them and dried them out.
Mm. Did you have trouble coping with all the laundry and things like that, or did you send it out?
It was hard work. No, I did everything myself with the washing machine. No, not too bad at all. I didn't have any trouble there. It was just the cooking and everything was, and keeping everything going. You had to be on your toes all the time.
What was the thing that you sort of least liked about being a landlady?
Can I think of anything? I can't really, except the very long hours. They were really tiring sometimes. No, I can't. I really enjoyed the life there.
What was your favourite aspect of it?
Well, meeting the people, I think. Yes. Making them comfortable. And knowing that these people who've come to live here, they still talk about the breakfasts, because it's amazing what some of them could put away.
You must have seen some great meals.
Oh, yes, yes. The meals were all homemade. And even my family used to laugh at me. You do everything the hard way, Mum. But then that's the way it was. the easy way was just coming in where people bought in bulk and everything in tins, and it was a completely different way of life. But I think being a country woman too made a difference, because everything was sort of homemade. You were brought up to make everything and have everything fresh. So I think that might have made a difference.
If you were setting out on a shopping in the morning, where would you be going to get your food?
I had my own local shops, which was smashing. Grocery shop, two grocery shops. One was Quirks, who have since given up. Who's in their shop now? Can't remember. It's a grocery shop no longer. Where you had everything freshly cut, cheese, bacon, everything fresh. Fresh bread. They bake their own bread. And the local butcher, I went there. It was just like shopping for a large family, and paid everything weekly as I went along. None of this business of waiting till the end of the summer. It was really just like an extended family, because you started off early in the year with one or two guests and perhaps had a few extra over Easter. We didn't take many people over winter. It was very cold down there, and heating was a problem. Then you'd lost the train of thought then. But gradually through the summer, of course, you'd be busier and busier until the full school holidays, you'd be full. But we had one early visitor once who came. She was a machinist, and she came to, I think they had new machines, and we had a local factory here then in Peel, and she came to train the girls. And she booked in with us. And it was a terrible night. We've had some storms, but I never remember anything like it. I woke about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was an inshore wind. It wasn't raining, fierce wind, and the spray of the sea was actually hitting the top windows and forcing its way through sash windows down, luckily not into the room she was in, down to the next bedroom, and from there down into the lounge below. So I woke my husband. The racket was absolutely dreadful, a noise. There were lights on all over Peel. I checked on my family, who were all fast asleep, and we got bowls and everything we could. But by that time, you see, it was coming from the top floor down through into the big dining room. What a mess. So we did what we could, but the storm was still raging and banging and crashing outside. And above our doors, there were little ventilators, and I kept looking at the ventilator above her door. I couldn't see any light on, and I thought, oh, I hope she's still asleep. Her first night with us. And in the morning, she came down for breakfast, and I said, how did you get on last night? She said, it was terrible, she said. I had to pull the bedclothes over my head, she said, to keep the spray off my face. It was forcing itself through the sash windows, and there was nothing you could do. Towels were useless. The force of the wind blew them straight off. It was absolutely horrendous. And I was full of apologies. I said, it's not usually like this. They don't usually have storms like this. She stuck it out. She was smashing. But she said, I was terrified. And the storm abated a bit next door. There was terrible damage all over Peel. Along the headlands, the garage is blown away, never to be seen again. And horror stories about slates coming through windows and embedding themselves in people's... It was a terrible, dreadful night. And that kept up for 2 days. We couldn't use our front door. There was a shop down there that the storm had burst the front door in. And made a terrible, terrible mess. So she stayed, and of course it improved after that. But that was a dreadful night. You wouldn't want visitors to stay.
You must have seen the front in many different weathers and many different moods.
Yes. There was some of our people like to just sit in the window and watch the sea, just the movement of it. Great storms sometimes, and seaweed and everything blown right over the top of the house and into the back. The windows were always covered in salt, as I remember. We always seemed to be washing the windows down. And in the winter, the boats used to come into Peel, the steamer, the Manx steamers. That was great excitement because all the buses used to go out in the post office vans and everything. We knew there was something going on. And I remember one year when 14 almost consecutive days the boat came into Peel with east wind and Douglas all that winter. And I wonder now how they cope with this.
Did you ever have visitors? I mean, I know boats used to run to Peel sometimes. Was that before your time?
No, they used to run some... No, only when the storm was bad in Douglas they came. And they used to have day trips sometimes to places like Belfast. That was quite good. Mm. But not regularly. No, it was Douglas. But most people came, of course, by boat then. Very few people flew.
How would your visitors be getting from Douglas to Peel? Would they?
They would have a taxi, mostly a taxi, and quite often come by bus. And we had a little old lady once who arrived, and arrived on the doorstep without any luggage or anything, and wanted accommodation. And I said we did have accommodation, but it was only the small single on the top floor in the front. And I said I don't think you'd like the two lots of stairs. And she said, no, that would be good for me, she said. Well, I said, come and have a look and see. She's quite frail. So we went, took her up, and she said, yes, this would be lovely, she said. What you charge? She wanted to stay a week. And so I told her, and I thought, well, she's on the top floor, I'll reduce it a little bit. And I told her the price, and she said, well, in that case, could I stay a fortnight? So I said, certainly, if you want. She was a lovely person. But then she had no luggage, and I thought, I wonder, because the week before the police had been round, somebody had walked out of a nursing home with their memory gone, and I thought, I wonder if she's walked out of somewhere. So I said, haven't you got any luggage? And she said, yes, but I didn't want to carry it round. She said, it's at the bus station. So we collected it for her, and she stayed away. She had a wonderful time. Really nice, little old-fashioned person. Very sprightly, and people used to, some of the other people who brought their car used to take her out for drives, and they used to sympathise with her and say how hard it must be, you know, to live on a pension. And she used to say, no, it's not hard at all, quite simple. We have, you know, I live with my brother, and we're not short of anything. She was a wonderful person, wonderful, real mixture you had, a real mixture. But I did like them. The boys at the TT races, they were regulars. Two brothers came. The others knew me and enjoyed all the food and everything. And these two brothers came with them one year. And I couldn't seem to get what they liked somehow. All the others, you know, lovely clean plates coming out of the dining room. And they didn't seem to... I tried to get some light. And in the end, it was fish and chips and chocolate biscuits or chocolate Swiss rolls, something like that. So I made sure they got what they liked. Sometimes you'd get a person in who liked fish, and if they asked for special things, you tried to cater for them. And he had fish. He used to come for a fortnight early. In May, April or May, and then a fortnight later in October. And he used to have fish for breakfast and every meal he could think of. Yeah, he came for the fish. It was kippers for breakfast or smoked haddock or something with an egg on top, and he didn't care what it was as long as it was fish. So for a fortnight he ate fish. But if that's what he wanted, then we were quite happy to give it to him.
Yeah, she must have seen some funny eaters.
Yes, we did. But mainly, I think the people who were happy with what I provided came back again and again. We had one man once who came in October. He was in on his own. The season had finished, And I think he was here for a sort of rest cure because he was a Manchester bus driver, and that must be an absolutely horrendous job. And he said the doctor told him to get clean away. He was an angler. And I could see him sitting at the end of the breakwater to take his flask and his sandwiches and sit at the end of the breakwater every day, pouring rain. And he always apologised for the weather. When he went back, I said, I wish it had been nicer for you. He said, I've had a wonderful time. He said, just let the world go by. And he went back, I think, replenished. And but he was on his own all day and just spent time there, never caught anything. Just sat there. But the walking holidays have gone. It's all
Were they
cars
very popular?
Now. Very popular, very popular.
Would they be organised by a company or would people do it themselves?
Sometimes you'd have cyclists too, but no, they nearly all belong to a walking club. And perhaps just come in twos and threes and say, well, you know, can I recommend you to the club? And we were all, you know, happy to do that, all those boarding house keepers. And... because there are some lovely walks around here, and often the children would be dragged with them if there were families, and children didn't appreciate it. But and the beach was very popular. But now you see it's all cars, isn't it? We had two Americans once who came looking for roots, two American ladies, nice ladies, and they came one day, stayed overnight, went back the following evening. They've been touring England and Europe, I think. And I think they just sort of fitted the Isle of Man in. And I said to them, it's a pity you didn't have a bit longer to see. And they said, well, we've seen everything we want to see. And, we've enjoyed it. But we've seen everything. And you don't, do you? You don't.
Did you see the cars change a lot? That's the whole pattern of holiday making.
Oh yeah, completely, yes.
Where did that
completely
start to really come?
Well, we were there, I suppose, about 10 years before that, or maybe longer before that came, because all these coach rides went off. And before that, there was a lot of trade in the evening to shows in Douglas. A lot of our people went to the shows. That seemed to stop. And they lost interest in the shows, and they lost interest in the coach trips. And we are limited here for motoring, aren't we? I think that's one of the things that's against the island, that and the weather. Because people now have cars, and there's just not the scope to use them, not for a fortnight. But people loved the beach, and there was competitions all the time down there, sandcastle competitions. And then they used the castle for sports in the afternoon. That's all gone now. People are so sophisticated today, aren't they?
So a lot of your visitors would be on Peel Beach.
Oh, most of them would stay on Peel Beach or go for a coach ride. And yes, the beach was very popular and always full of people. You'd see it emptying at meal times and all the old trails.
Would you not? You wouldn't do lunches normally.
Only at the very start, and it was a bit too much.
And what about? So, did you used to make them sandwiches, or did they get their own lunch in a cafe?
No, what I did. If like the boys who came for tea week and pouring with rain, if they didn't want to do anything and stayed in, I'd just make them coffee and sandwiches, if they wanted. It's just something. Something handy, and then dinner in the evening. And to get started, we did full board, which was really heavy going, because all these meals, trying to ring the changes, was a big breakfast, and then a cooked lunch, a cooked dinner, and then a tea again, salads and things like that, and then a cup of tea in the evening. And it was all day trying to fit in all the meals, so eventually I went for tea, bed and breakfast, as I say, and then after that, dinner, bed and breakfast, and I think we charged, coming towards the end, about 15 shillings a day after that. But your mind was always working towards making them comfortable and contented and trying to make the holiday nice. It was the old-fashioned way of doing things.
Did you feel that your guests were the same people as would go to the big boarding houses, or were they different? Did they have different interests to the people who'd go to the big boarding houses?
No, they were the same sort of people in those days, because the big boarding houses were more like big boarding houses. They weren't like they are today, with all the mod cons and everything. It was just a large boarding house, really. And they did the same. They did the same sort of thing. They were associated with the visitors all the time and knew them.
Did the Peel landladies, you know, have any kind of network or society for the
winter?
We
had a boarding house keepers association at one time, and we used to get things with drives and bingo and things up, and put some of the money towards a charity, and the rest towards perhaps entertainment in Peel, something like that. But that gradually went as the boarding houses started to give up.
Did you ever do anything political with the association, like pressing the commissioners for better
No, we didn't. In those days, there was hardly enough accommodation to go around. So there was really... And the commissioners did a lot of things. They had a hall at the end of the promenade, which is not used a lot now. It's used for car boot sales mostly now.
The Marine Hall.
They had regular local competitions on, talent competitions and things like that. And they were very popular. Everybody went.
Do you remember the new swimming pool being built?
Yes.
Can you tell me a bit about that?
That was so popular, because I remember my family using it. Really, that was really popular. It was a shame when they had an attendant there all the time. But of course, gradually. But of course, it never paid. They say that they never do, and it was an open air swimming pool. But it was very, very popular. But you needed the weather. And then they talked about covering it. Well, it was far too expensive. So I think that's a pity. They're trying to get a new one, aren't they, in Peel? I don't know if they ever will, because it's not so far to Douglas or Castletown, is it?
Well, I don't know, yeah.
We want everything on our doorstep today, don't we?
Yeah.
When you think of people in England, you know, they have to travel to everything, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of travelling.
I think we're spoon-fed here in lots of ways.
Oh, yes, I was going to ask, what did you do for your holidays?
Well, when my daughter got married, we used to go and stay with her and her husband. They lived down in London for a while, and sometimes we'd stay somewhere like Chester or somewhere just on the way down for a couple of days. But we loved London. We loved London. And London people here used to say, "Aren't you glad to be back?" You know. And we could never understand this. But then it's different when you're sightseeing, isn't it? It was lovely. So we used to have a fortnight, and sometimes early I'd go with my daughter to perhaps the Lake District for a few days. Never went abroad, because that was out of... Nobody ever did in those days. It was around England.
Mm-hmm. So when would you take your holidays? What month?
Usually October or very early November. It didn't really matter. And the weather always seemed to be nice. They lived out towards Watford for a while. They lived in London for a while, and then they lived further out and eventually came to Cheshire. Even the weather seemed to be milder down there. You could go for a pub lunch and sit outside, even in November. And loved the shops then, because they were getting ready for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, if you're... visitors wanted drink, presumably you weren't allowed to sell drink.
No, we never sold alcohol. We didn't have a license. That was another thing that gradually came in. There was none of that anywhere along Peel Promenade except the Craigmallon Hotel. But then after a while they all had little, the basement was allocated a little space for a bar, That's something else that's come in.
When did that start to come in?
No, I can't remember. It was towards the end of our stay there. So it could be late 60s, early 70s. Because I used to hear somebody say, the proprietors, he would stay up themselves. Because even in those big, they were big compared with what we had, but they weren't big enough to employ barmen all night. And if one of your visitors decided to stay up all night and drink, you had to stay up with them. And I had one or two complaints about that from the proprietors. I don't know whether it benefited them at all, really. It may have.
Why did they feel they wanted licences?
I think they felt they had to keep up with the times. It was like having, eventually, of course, it was televisions in the rooms and telephones. And I had a meal down in one, which was just like a large boarding house, and we were there. And I had some friends, some of our visitors, who came to the island and stayed there, and I went out with them every day, and I had a meal there with them. And I was amazed. The bedrooms were so completely different. They had a phone in, they had a television in, and en suites, and it was all completely different.
Is that something you did recently, or you remembered doing that?
We did, towards the end of our stay, make it one of the small back rooms into a television lounge, because